Joining us right now is our friend, Mr. Mike Jones from The Athletic. Jonesy, what's up, man? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, JP. How you doing?
I am good, man. I want to talk to you about kind of the question everybody's asking in Washington. What do you think of Jaden Daniels?
I have been encouraged by what I've seen of him and the way that he's being used. Look, I know everybody would love to see him, you know, with a great connection with Terry McLaurin right now. I think that's going to come, but I like how they've done a good job of supporting him with the strong run game. They're working to get the ball out of his hands quickly, which you have to do when you have kind of a work-in-progress offensive line. I like his instincts that I've seen so far. I know that, you know, he causes a little angst as he runs and doesn't always get down as quickly as maybe some people would like. But I like what I've seen so far of him. Of the young quarterbacks that are playing right now, he looks the best of them.
For sure. I don't even think that's close.
I mean, the rookies.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from C.J. Stroud.
Right.
But, you know, from his draft class right now, he looks the best.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mike. And, I mean, obviously you covered Robert. I don't think they're similar people or necessarily similar players, but a lot of fans cling to this fear of what happened to Robert. Again, I think it's quite different. I think the game has evolved. I think Jaden has evolved. I think quarterbacks are more protected now. But injuries did Robert in. Do you have any concerns for Jaden getting hurt?
Look, we've seen him take off running, but I haven't seen anything that makes me think, hope this is another RG3. I think you've got, like you said, they're two different people. Yes, they're both black. Yes, they're both athletic. But, like, I don't think we can, like, feel like, oh, this is going to be a repeat. I think different styles. I also think that Robert was fast. He wasn't elusive. I think
right.
Jaden is a little more slippery. His running style reminds me more of Lamar Jackson's than Robert's. Because Robert could run fast, but he didn't get away from people if they had the right angle. I remember thinking of the Holonata hit, which started the whole downward spiral with his knee. And, I mean, look, I don't know that there's the same mentality that he would, you know, kind of threaten his coach, you know, if they tried to pull
right.
him out or anything. I just think Jaden Daniels is a different type of guy. If he got injured, you know, hopefully he would listen to the trainers and not try to, like, force his way onto the field because he was afraid of Kirk Cousins taking his job. Like, all of that, it was just so crazy. And so I don't see those similarities. I think that Cliff Kingsbury's done a good job of protecting him. And, look, we don't have – in D.C., you don't have the meddlesome owner to poison the quarterback against his coach. So, I hope that there's no repeat. It just feels and looks totally different to me.
I totally agree with you. I think Lamar has that, like, quick twitch, stop, go, juke you out of your shoes ability that I don't think Jaden has. My comp for Jaden, and it's almost hard to say this because so much has happened since he was just since we only thought of him as a football player. But do you remember how Deshaun Watson was as a runner, where he kind of like glided a little bit? That's been my comp for Jaden. Jaden might be a little more elusive than that, and Deshaun was bigger and kind of could roll like lower his shoulder a little bit.
I kind of can.
But
see
I'm
what
with you that there's
there.
No comp with RG3 though.
Yeah, just different. I mean, I think he's even different than Watson a little bit. Watson did a lot of escaping and extending, but I don't even know if he was as much to take off as we've seen Jaden. And, I mean, there have just been a few times where you see guys, like, converging on him, and somehow he squirts on through. And it just, like I said, he's slippery.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just Jaden Daniels. Very, you know, very unique so far. Again, I'm glad he learned how to tighten his chin strap. I didn't, you know, that stuff was a little scary with his helmet flying off multiple times.
Right.
But, you know, that shows that he's learning from 1 week to the other. So, I don't know. I'm hoping, look, we both from this area, we've seen a lot of disappointment at that position. I'm hoping that this finally ends the carousel and gives the long-suffering fans in this franchise the quarterback that they deserve.
Yeah, man, I that's a great line. Maybe he's just Jaden Daniels. I think that is going to be proven. I think ideally that is proven to be the case over time. You said something that I found pretty interesting there. Talking with Mike Jones here on the BetQL guest line. If you want to follow Mike, of course you can, at by Mike Jones. You said you like how Cliff is protecting him. A lot has been made of Terry McLaurin's lack of productivity through two games, and that a lot is at the line of scrimmage in the pass game for Washington. At the same time, though, they're dominating time of possession and they're moving the ball really well. What do you make of Cliff's offense?
Well, I'm very curious to see the evolution of it right now. You know, what is it going to look like midway through the season? Through two games, it is clear. It's like, okay, get the ball out of his hands, help him get into a rhythm. I think that's what we're seeing. And, you know, there is. It's a lot at the line of scrimmage, a lot of short stuff. And in a way, those quick, you know, hitter 4 and 5 yard chunks are almost like run plays as well. But it's just keeping the defense on its heels, keeping the offense moving, keeping his completion percentage up. Also, it doesn't stop the clock, you know. It's a smart approach, I think, when you have a line. I mean, I was just covering that game in Houston and watching Chicago's offense and the approach they have with Caleb Williams is absolutely maddening. They're not using the run game. Like, they don't even try to establish the run, which is really surprising because Shane Waldron is an offshoot of the Shanahan tree. He worked under Sean McVay for a lot of years. He must have been asleep in class because they don't even try to establish the run. They don't do a lot of the things that the Shanahan offense does to protect a quarterback. And you've got Caleb Williams sitting back there holding the football, waiting for things to unfold. Or then he's in trouble and he's trying to do all this escape artist stuff and the defenses are faster. But they don't do anything to ease pressure on your young quarterback. Look at Washington, and he's not making him a sitting target back there behind a bad offensive line. It's getting the ball up quickly. It's running the football. It's using his misdirection, using his own legs. This is what you have to do. And, you know, I would be curious to talk to him about what he learned, you know, when he had Kyler Murray, another young athletic quarterback behind a rebuilding line. And how has that helped him prepare for Jaden? It just looks like he's got the good game plan. But I think as Jaden continues to get a better feel for the defenses, in the NFL, we'll start to see, you know, times when there's the play action shots downfield and getting Terry more involved in the intermediate to deep routes and things like that, because he's too valuable to not use. But I just think this is just part of the process of building, giving him a good foundation, and then they'll continue to expand.
Interesting there, because I saw you worked that Houston Bears game Sunday night. Obviously, Caleb had a really, really rough second half in that game. Bo Nix has looked terrible.
Right.
Jaden Daniels has been by far the best rookie quarterback so far. Do you think that will change over the course of the season, or do you think Jaden's in the best position going forward?
Well, it depends on the play callers. You know, Sean Payton's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, and he's had Bo Nix drop back 77 times, which is the third most in the NFL. And he leads the NFL in interceptions, and he's got an awful passer rating. You're putting way too much on a young quarterback. They are not working to establish the run game either. He's out there thinking he's calling plays for Drew Brees. And then you get frustrated when your young guy throws a stupid interception or, you know, holds onto the ball too long. What I see when I compare Washington with those two offenses and even what was going on in Carolina before Bryce Young was benched was, these coaches don't have a real good feel for how to protect their young quarterback, whereas Cliff Kingsbury is doing that. Look, if they had an all-pro offensive line. Maybe we'd see him sit in the pocket more, and they take a lot of deep shots downfield. But those plays take a long time to develop. And so what Cliff is trying to do is, okay, let's get a chunk on first down. Let's get a chunk on second down so it's third and manageable, not third and 15 when you need the guys to get beyond the sticks. And by that time, linebackers crashing in and about to take your rookie's head off. So Cliff is being really smart that way. And so if he continues to take this approach of trying to put his young quarterback in third and manageable situations and keep the chains moving, then, yeah, Jaden's going to continue to have success, and they're continue to build on this. Until Waldron in Chicago and Sean Payton in Denver, until they figure that out to that's how they have to call plays for a young quarterback, those guys are going to continue to struggle, and they're going to continue to turn the ball over, and they're going to continue to disappoint. So, you know, for once, looks like Washington is doing the right thing, where we're used to normally looking at other teams and be like, man, why can't we be like that? You know, I hear fans say, well, right now, looks like Washington has got it figured out, and they're putting their young guy in the best possible way to succeed.
That is, I tend to agree with you, man. I think they're trying to bring him along slowly. They want him to develop more as a passer, I'd say. Like to continue to look to pass rather than look to run. Let's zoom out from Washington and kind of go around the league. The Rams, a coach you and I both know and covered together out here in Ashburn for years. 0-2. How is McVay doing? They got a ton of injuries out there. What do you make for LA?
Yeah, I feel bad for those guys. There's, you know, Sean McVay's out there, Aubrey Pleasant's out there, a number of guys that we know that are on that coaching staff, and they just have had some really bad luck with, you know, their offensive line was already banged up coming into the season. Their left tackle is going to be out, I think, 2 more weeks because of suspension, but the backup left tackle was hurt, so they're on the third string left tackle. I think they're on the backup left guard. Then you lose Puka, and then you lose, now you're losing Cooper Kupp. You know, it's and every time Matthew Stafford gets hit, it's like he's moving gingerly. And look, it's too early in the year for him to be hobbling on an ankle or a bad back. It's unfortunate for them because I thought that they had a chance to kind of they seem like they're hitting a reset last year, and I thought they had a chance to build on that. But man, health is something that you can have the best X's and O's in the world, but if you don't have your horses and you're going with third string guys, it's really hard in this league. It's hard when you're with second string guys. And so I don't know how this gets better for them because they're in a tough division and these are players at very key positions and they're going to be out for a while. It's not just like a week or two, you know, and so I feel bad, but this is the way the NFL is. And, you know, you just never know how the injury bug is going to hit a team.
Totally. Totally. We had this debate, Beamish and I, yesterday. Who do you think Kansas City has clearly established himself as the best team in football? And, Dude, you might do your own list. I know The Athletic does them. I don't know if you write them, so forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But, like, if you had to do your power rankings today, who's the second best team in football?
Second best team in football today?
Because you got some 2-0 teams, but they're probably not the teams you would think to. Maybe the Bills,
right?
I guess?
Well, I mean, like, okay, I thought Philly was it, but then Philly wet the bed against Atlanta, you know, and so It's like, oh wow, Tampa Bay is a team that is very well rounded. Seattle is a team that, you know, they're 2-0. They've got a tough defense and a smart offensive approach. Buffalo is looking better than I thought. I thought their offense would take a step backward. The Steelers have a really good defense and a smart approach. You know, we'll see what happens with their quarterback situation. There's question about all of those teams, so it's tough for me to say, oh, this is a clear-cut number two team behind the Chiefs. I'm very curious about the New Orleans Saints. I thought it was a fluke in week one, but then we saw them do to Dallas in week two. Their offense was dynamic. Their defense was very stingy and, you know, forced multiple turnovers. I did not see this coming from the Saints. I don't know if they're number two, but they're tough. You know, right now, I think it's going to look way different than towards the end of the season because towards the end of the season, The Bengals, you know, they always start slow. They're going to have their groove. The Ravens are probably going to have things figured out because they're replaced. Remember, their defense coordinator and top two defensive assistants. And so this, what we're seeing right now, some of this is not going to hold true. But for right now, there's a lot of intriguing teams up top there, those 2-0 teams. But I don't know who number two is because I have questions. I need to see more from a lot of these teams before I'll believe that they're actually legit.
More legit 2-0 team, Seattle or Minnesota?
Oh, man. I mean, Sam Darnold looks like he's been reborn. And if he is...
Dude, I might start him in fantasy.
Right?
Shows you where I'm at.
If he is, then okay. Then they might be because I think their offense is probably a little more explosive. And they've got a great defense with Brian Flores dialing it up for them. Seattle, you know, they have a good offense. And Geno Smith looks comfortable again. You know, it now, despite the head coaching change, and they got a good defense, but I don't think they're quite as potent. I can't believe this, but like I'm saying, like right now, Minnesota looks legit. But again, I don't know. Is this fool's gold what we're seeing with Sam Darnold? Or is Kevin O'Connell and was that year with Kyle Shanahan that much of a difference maker for him? I don't know. It's hard to believe, but, you know, we'll see this Sunday. They have the Houston Texans, which D'Amico Ryan's defense is probably going to give Sam Darnold all he can handle. But again, he's got the best receiver in the game as a security blanket in Justin Jefferson. So, and a strong, and they believe in running the football. So maybe this career reset resurgence is legit.
It's funny, all these names were thrown around, and you and I both covered them here in Ashburn. You wonder, you go back to, I mean, 2019, everything completely fell apart. They bring Ron in. What if they had just promoted KOC then? Who knows?
Well, I mean, it's just like, I don't think that C.J. Stroud would have had a chance in Carolina. I don't think any coach would have had a chance under Snyder with all the meddlesome ways. So,
dude, you should come out here. It is so different now. Like, even the room is different. They're feeding us now. Like, you should, like, if you're coming to visit your parents or whatever brings you to this side of the world, you should try to come cover a Thursday practice.
Sounds good. And hopefully I'll be, I mean, look, they win a few more games. They're going to become really compelling. And, you know, hopefully I'll get out there to some games. I've been bouncing around. I'll be in New Orleans this weekend. But, awesome. You know, we'll see.
Last thing is, do you view Monday night as a get right for the Bengals facing this Commanders secondary?
I mean, they need to, but I still don't know just because of the fact that, look, Joe Burrow, like I said, they start slow, but he didn't have, his top two wide receivers for, you know, the bulk of training camp and the preseason. So they're still working out kinks. They need to get right. And Washington's defense, the one thing, as encouraging as the signs are with their quarterback, I've been a little disappointed by what I've seen with this defense. I know they don't have a legit dominant pass rusher. I know they've got some holes in their secondary, but I still thought that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt would be able to mask some of this a little bit better. So if there is a defense that Joe Burrow is going to get right on, it very well could be Washington this week.
Very well could. Jonesy, thank you for making time, man. Hope our paths cross soon.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That is Mike Jones. Give him a follow at By Mike Jones. Who? At By Mike Jones.